people use all sorts of different media to relate their stories. Sebastian Daniels uses coffee grounds, you could say. And the story he's telling is the story of Ground Culture, which at this stage is kind of an online retail store, but it's also a social movement that's grown way beyond coffee. But it has its roots quite far back in a blog, I think it was, called Coffee Shop Blues. And before that, even, it was inspired by a newspaper column that his father wrote, his father, Ken Daniels, who wrote a column called Sunnyside Up, which was all about breakfast. Well, we got Seb here to explain the whole story. Sebastian, lovely to have you.
Lovely to be here.
Great. Or Seb. Or actually, I think your buddies call you Bash.
Yeah, that's what the guys in Khayelitsha call me. It's my Kasi name.
Okay.
I would say.
Okay. So we've established what your handle is. But let's establish where we're starting here. I think let's start at the present, because this little online retail shop is quite new. It's just opened in OBS. Tell the story what's happening right now.
Cool. So right now, we've just transitioned from Coffee Shop Blues to Ground Culture. As of the COVID and the lockdown, we had to adapt. So we've launched an online store, done about 350 orders since May, launched a retail store in OBS and kind of opened it on Tuesday, but we'll officially be launching it next week. And yeah, we're on Uber Eats, just trying to adapt to the times and really build an ecosystem of support for small businesses out there.
What are you selling? What's online?
There's a whole range of products. We've got a lot of nuts, legumes, all kinds of dry goods, grains. And these are packaged biodegradably in kind of Ground Culture branding. And then we've also got a whole range of small business products from the township, but also from suburban areas. And these include spinach bread, Sikki's coffee, these are Khayelitsha businesses, Ubusi honey, which is raw fynbos honey from Khayelitsha, and then a whole range of products from suburban entrepreneurs, because we're not about supporting one or the other, we're about joining the two together and collaborating for the greater good. So we've also got nut butters, relishes, hot sauces.
Okay, so you're going into full-time promotional Raymond Ackerman mode here. So you've got all sorts of exciting goodies. But let's track back from that, because you say that it's Ground Culture was born during lockdown out of Coffee Shop Blues. What was Coffee Shop Blues?
Coffee Shop Blues is multifaceted. It started off, as you said, I wanted to build something for my dad when he was sick. He had dementia. And he wanted to turn the Sunnyside Up, this really cool blog that became, well, not blog, but a newspaper column that became really well known and quite, people would print them out, put them on in their coffee shop and in their restaurants and their hotel. And it became like a little cult classic thing with these cool little drawings. And you always wanted to put it online. But when he got sick, that became impossible. So I thought, let me start something for a legacy for him, kind of to connect with him, because I was struggling to do that at the time. But also, I just thought coffee shops were cool. I really enjoyed the independent vibe. I liked that the owners were involved and that they were trying to share something with the world. So I started, over the course of a year, I reviewed 130 coffee shops in Cape Town and built a website so you could find them all. There was a map and a directory, and I had a lot of fun with that. I built up 10,000 followers on Instagram and built up a lot of monthly website visitors. But after a year, I was like, whoa, you know, you need to make some money. It's all great to have all this following, but you really need to build a business model behind it. So that's when I started working with entrepreneurs from Cape Town and from Khayelitsha, and that's actually Ubusi Honey. So when I started working with him, and I just thought, why not get these small businesses into the shops of independent coffee shops? Because they could actually use a deli range as well, because they can make more money and they can kind of compete and stay alive. So I kind of started building an ecosystem between small businesses and independent outlets. And we built this ecosystem of small business supporting small business. And over the course of that year, we grew that up to 75 coffee shops. And I think the most notable thing to notice is I was working with the township-based entrepreneurs and specifically Ubusi Honey. And when I met this 52-year-old beekeeper, black guy from Khayelitsha, and this 25-year-old white guy from suburban, we kind of started working together and combined our different skills and grew his business from 25 kilograms a month in 10 months to 250 kilograms a month. So we really 10 times his business. And that was just introducing the formal sector into a township-based business. And that really is such a huge achievement for me and for the model I'm creating, because it just shows the impact that the formal sector can make on developing these businesses.
Yeah. So it also shows how the world of commerce and media have absolutely done a 360. You know, things are just so different. I mean, going back to your dad's, which was a review column, basically, he used to go to, just explain to us what he did, because it's interesting to see what he was doing to what Coffee Shop Blues was the 21st century version. What was he doing? Because he was a journo, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a journo, and he was just a general creative. And it was him and his best mate, Bruce Backhouse, who's an artist. And the two of them would go once a week to some coffee shop, or it was more hotels back then because breakfast was a big thing. Coffee shops have only really become a thing these days, at least in South Africa. It was a big – coffee's kind of emerged now. We were a big tea-drinking nation, and now we're kind of developing into a coffee-drinking nation. But he'd go and review them and talk – always have a funny story. And his best mate would draw a picture of this guy called Mork, which was this crazy guy with long hair reading a newspaper at each of these places. And you kind of – everyone that had a hotel or breakfast desperately wanted them to come. It was like a big honor. And it would always be quirky and cool. And so they did that for about 3 years. And every week without end, they put these reviews in the paper. And they weren't really reviews. They were more just – they did review the breakfast, but it was always just a quirky kind of fun thing, why you should go to this place.
Yeah.
And it was about promoting these local places that were trying to make money and just trying to survive, and but also making it fun and an exciting place and giving people an option to kind of go there. So, yeah, that's where Coffee Shop Blues came from, and I wanted to do the same thing. I must say I was never quite the writer my dad was, but I just got really into the independent movement, and that kind of what really pulled me in is I saw all these coffee shop owners being like so passionate about what they were doing, and I wanted to get behind them, and I wanted people to get behind them, because you got your Vitas, you got your bootleggers, you got all these places, but what you really those places are great, but they're supporting some guys sitting in Sandton in a board meeting, and they're just getting richer and richer and richer, not actually the people that are running the coffee shop. So I really wanted to find a way to unite these coffee shops and make it easy for people to find them, because that's also the big problem.
So when you went there, so you were choosing sort of like indie, independent coffee shops.
Yeah.
So when you went there, were you writing a blog?
Yeah, I guess it was a blog. It started off as a blog. I think the first 13...
And Instagram, I think it was on...
Yeah, Instagram, yeah. Just modern day life. You got to get on the social media things. But Instagram was a big one, and kind of was playing around with that at the time. And so you go there, do a couple stories, take a couple photos, but then I'd always want to get the story of the owner, because they're the ones that have something to share with the world. So when you talk about independent coffee shops, you kind of think of Truth would be the biggest one. And I didn't actually review Truth. I just thought they were too big for me. I wanted to support the small guy. But that's the kind of vibe we were looking for, someone that's unique, creative, and got something to share. So I'd go there and I'd often interview the owner, write their story, and then write like a 500-word, fun, quirky little review on the place. Review the breakfast, the vibe, the atmosphere, and the coffee, of course.
And how far flung did you go? Because, you know, the city centre of Cape Town, it's just crawling with coffee shops. They're everywhere, and hopefully a lot of them will have closed over the lockdown. But I think it took you into the townships as well.
Yeah, so I first started with like Observatory and kind of more suburban Constantia coffee shops, because that's what I knew, in Musenberg and Cork Bay. And town just seemed like this big giant, as you kind of said, and I didn't know how to attack it. So I started doing all the kind of the quirky, cool ones, and that's when it took me to Khayelitsha. Because at the time, I had run another business called Yetu, which had to do with stock files and micro-saving, and we did really well. We won a lot of national competitions and went to London to the School of Business and pitched in these international competitions, raised a lot of grant money. But we were young in university and thought we knew the township from spending a short period of time there. And that whole business came crashing down. So at the same time I was running Coffee Shop Blues, I was also trying to find myself again. And that's why kind of with my dad getting sick, I was trying to find him in me. But then I was also trying to find where did I go wrong with understanding the township. So I made an oath to go to Khayelitsha once a week, every week, until I properly understood it. And while doing these reviews, I found this coffee shop in Khayelitsha called Sikki's Coffee Cafe. And it was just such an eye-opener, because Sikki was just this guy who'd been running this coffee shop for 3 years. And he was bringing like a premium product to his community in Khayelitsha. And initially, I couldn't really understand it. I was like, who is actually going to afford to buy stuff here, to buy a cappuccino at 25 Rand or whatever it was? And over time, I started realizing that's actually not what people are going there for. They're going there for the Wi-Fi. They're going there to have meetings. They're going there to kind of, yeah, just connect and create and collaborate. And that's kind of where I really started to understand the magic of coffee shops. And Sikki speaks about how coffee has been banned 5 times in history because it started revolutions. It was banned in the Tsar, the Ottoman Empire. Yeah, they banned it there, and they banned it in the British government, because revolutions started in these coffee shops. So people would meet up, have coffee, talk about the social issues and the ills, because it's not like alcohol where you just kind of get angry. You actually quite concentrated thought, yeah. And so that's what he was fighting for, is to start something within his community where people could connect and collaborate and start a new future. So at the same time I was reviewing all these places, I'd made an oath to go to Sickies once a week, every week. And I did that for 2 years until lockdown hit. And now I've kind of gone there every now and then.
Yeah. But, wow, that's really quite a story. Because I think once you got to the township, once you got to Khayelitsha, you found a whole lot more. I mean, aside from coffee, there's a lot of culture, Khasi culture going on and commerce going on. What else have you found there? There's Mr. Beekeeper, there's Sikhi. What else have you found there that you are supporting?
Oh, there's so much. And I think that is the big part of what Ground Culture stands for. Yes, it is an e-commerce store. And yes, it is about making sales. But really what it's about is kind of introducing white or privileged people to a different side of the township that you don't see. And for example, if you Google Khayelitsha and you go to the images, you will scroll down for 5-10 minutes and only see shacks. That's all you'll see. However, if I show you the picture of Khayelitsha, you'll see cool graffiti, cool murals. You'll see the Spinach King, which is a great one that Richard Branson's been there and cycled on bikes with this guy. He's got a gluten-free spinach bread that's cheaper than and better than any other spinach bread around, and he's been doing that for 8 years. You'll find Ghetto Sessions, which is like a movement of collaborating and bringing people together to talk about the social ills and to talk through music and poetry and rap and whatever it is, the medium. It's just to connect and to actually feel proud about Khayelitsha. There's kind of this, there's a debate going on around like the black consciousness side, and then there's the collaboration side. So it's kind of a big movement going on there. But I think people are starting to shift over to the collaboration side, but with this idea of being proud of Khayelitsha. And wanting people to come into their space. And that's really what we stand for. I mean, the biggest club in Cape Town is in Khayelitsha. It's called Rand's. One of the biggest restaurants is in Khayelitsha. It's called The Milk. And there's Ace as well. And these places take like 1,000 people, 2,000 people. They're massive. They're big cultural spots. And a lot of becoming big with tourists going out there. And that's kind of the conversation we're trying to drive. It's like, you're missing out if you're not going there. You really need to go there. It's so fun. It's exciting. You'll leave with a totally different perspective. And that's what we're really trying to encourage.
You know, the word I used earlier was you're supporting these guys, which is such a patronizing thing to be saying, because it's not that you're supporting them saying, shame, you know, I'm going to help you get there. They've got there. So do you see yourself more as a sort of a bridge, like a channel, a conduit? How do you see your role?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I think I am a white privileged male that grew up, went to Rondebosch Boys, and really grew up with the kind of white perspective. But having two parents as journalists, I also grew up like going to protests with my mom and like really experiencing that side. And so when I wanted to go to the township, it wasn't like, no, you mustn't go there. And that's what all my friends are told. When I take them, their parents get quite upset with me initially, because they're like, why are you taking our son to college? It's so dangerous. And I'm like, it's not. But I think that's the idea, is really to build a bridge of understanding and cooperation. Because I think the perspective from the privileged side is always trying to teach people from Khayelitsha how to live their way. But that's never going to work, because that's the Western way of living. It's not the African way of living. And the African way of living is beautiful. It's all about collaboration. It's all about helping each other. It's about I am a person through other people, which is Ubuntu. And that's a system that can really save the world, in my opinion. It's a system that really the world needs to learn from, is that we need to coexist. And if we coexist together and we help each other out, we actually do better for everyone. It's not a selfish thing. It's not a me versus you. It's actually let's help each other. So when I say, so it's not necessarily me supporting them. In a big way, they're supporting me. My two best-selling products are Spinach King and Abusi Honey. Those are the two best-selling products out of more than 100 products on our website. And that not only shows that the quality of the products coming out of Khayelitsha and the townships in general, but it also shows the capacity of people wanting to support, people of privilege that want to support. They just don't know how. They're scared to go to Khayelitsha by themselves because they've been told this their whole life, that that it's dangerous, you're going to get killed, you're going to get raped. And while these things do happen, it's just a small fragment that has happened. But I think once you buy some spinach bread or you buy Sikki's coffee or you buy a Bussy Honey, you're now one step closer to understanding their journey and being like, I've read this guy's story. I actually know it's cool. I kind of personally feel invested in his story. Now I want to go there and check it out. And even over the lockdown, we've had a hell of a lot of people go to Sikki's after buying his coffee. We've had about, well, not a hell of a lot, but 5 or 6 people, which is quite big for the lockdown. And it's quite a big jump to go out there. And it's quite amazing to see. So when you talk about a bridge, that's kind of exactly what we're trying to do, is kind of bridge that, but through small little acts of commerce. And
you know, I guess lockdown has been both a curse and a blessing, because it's been a nightmare for a lot of people, but it's also been a blessing for somebody like you who've had the sort of capacity to pivot. You know, that it's a bit of a cliche now, but you've taken coffee shop blues into ground culture. It's a very difficult thing for anybody to be looking into crystal balls at the moment, because who knows what comes with level one, if indeed level one ever comes, if we don't go back to level five. How do you see a future, not just for selling more and more product that's coming out of Khayelitsha, but how do you, you know, what's the vision? Can you express it?
Yeah, I think I can. I think there's the environmental angle, which is something we're very passionate about, but it's something that we just think is a given that should be done. You know, so everything we do, we aim to be biodegradable. We aim to really push that and to have a waste-free approach. We'd love to open a string of retailers across the country that are waste-free, because not only is it way more environmentally friendly, but it's actually cheaper, because you don't pay packaging costs. You don't pay labor costs for that. People come and do it themselves. You can put a lot of things in the same space. So we'd really like to open that kind of retail store of an environmental angle. But that's, like I said, it's not only because we support the environmental movement, it's because it's a way more accessible way for everyone. I think there's even an idea to open those in the township. And then that's the one part, is we can bring that in. But then the part we're really passionate about and the movement we're really trying to drive is the social change movement. And it's about collaborating and understanding each other and actually using our different communities, because we really do live in totally separate worlds. You've got the formal economy, which operates in one way, and the informal economy that operates in another way. And neither are wrong, but the one is dominating the other and not letting the other grow. So what we really want to do is help build bridges between the two. So formalize the informal community, but without changing anything, actually with enhancing it. So it can get access to the legal system, to the banking system, to all these kind of systems that the formal institutions really have solid foundations in, but really give it to people in the informal economy in a way they know and inherently understand. And we see that through a variety of methods, and kind of big part of what I want to do is actually invest in these businesses in the township, and really give people, white or privileged people, I wouldn't even know how to draw the distinction in South Africa, it's so difficult, but give them the opportunity to actually get involved in these businesses and actually have a piece of this change. And that's how you're going to get people to understand the movement, is when you really get them involved. It's not one versus the other, no, what people must stay on their own. It's actually about getting people to work together and understand each other's visions and kind of understand why why we should build things the way they are. So Sikki is probably the best example. And I think he has taught me more than any person, mentor, anyone I've ever met, because he's taught me about the value of building foundations in your business, because he's built a business where he didn't have access to funding. He didn't have access to networks. He had to do it on his own and really build it step by step, watch how things change and then make moves on that. And I think once you kind of understand that from his perspective, I used to fight with him all the time. He'd be like, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. This is what you should do. And he's, no, you're wrong. And then eventually you do kind of rub off on each other. But that rub off has allowed us to really build this big, big foundation and build a place that people really want to get involved in. So for example, Rachel Kulisi messaging me this morning being like, hey, I want to, because I took her to Sikki's like a little while ago. And she's like, hey, I want to go take the Rise team there. Is he open? I called Sikki and I was like, yeah, she wants to come in. And he was like, cool, she must come. And that's, you're starting to get these big power players who really actually also want to get involved in the movement. And they're seeing the value. And Sikki's built this thing off nothing. He owns 100% of what he's built. He's had no real big help, big ups, but people are seeing what he's trying to create. And that's the kind of the conversation you want to get to, is where people want to get involved because they think it's, not only because they think it's the right thing to do, but because they think it's cool. That's really what we want to make is once you want to join something because it's cool, it doesn't matter that it's the right thing. It's just a huge bonus that it is. And that's how we're going to change the world.
Sure. Hashtag ground culture. So if somebody who's maybe not a big power player, somebody who's just ordinary who would also like to invest, I mean, say invest in inverted commas, we're not talking necessarily money, but somehow invest emotionally, invest in some other way, they can follow you on what? What can they follow you on? Instagram?
Instagram.
What's the best way to get hold of you?
Instagram. You can just pop us a message on Instagram.
And ground culture?
Ground culture _ or Facebook or anything. We've got a WhatsApp line as well that you can just WhatsApp through to us. And we'll, any order that gets placed on the website, we actually give you a call and we say, like, welcome to our community. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your support for what we're doing. Because it's more than just make a buck today. It's about building something. We want to build an ecosystem for the future, a foundation for the future, where entrepreneurs and patriotic South Africans can connect and collaborate. And that's really what we want to do. So if you send us a message, you got questions, you want to go to Sikkies, you want to get out there, like, we're more than happy to help you with that. And ideally, in the long run, we'd love to be running tours to do that. But for now, we're focused on building an online store.
One step at a time.
But if you send us a message, I think the best first step is actually just to buy these products. And that's not coming from a sales point of view. It's actually to really understand and to read them and be like, ah, this is actually delicious. And that's the first step. And then I think the second step is actually finding them on Instagram, because everyone's on Instagram these days, or on Facebook, and sending them a message directly and then just typing it in Google Maps and off you go.
To the car seat. Gosh, Seb, that's a really wonderful story. So if anybody wants to get hold of you, ground_culture, Instagram, Facebook.
Ground culture underscore.
Let's get it right. Well, you're certainly getting it right. It's been a real treat to talk to you. Thank you very much. And I think you need to go and get yourself a cup of coffee now.
I think so.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Nancy. That was great.